Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand. Marketing tools that get your products out there, and that's just the beginning. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go. Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Shopify, your all-in-one commerce platform.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com.au/listen.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Thursday, the 25th of June 2026, a day where the Australian share market fell, the S&P ASX 200 down 0.7%, and oil, gold and the Australian dollar hit some milestones. We'll tell you about that soon with Scott Haslam from LGT Wealth Management. But first to the economy, where the Bureau of Statistics said Australia's unemployment rate eased from 4.5% to 4.4% in May. More than 40,000 jobs were created last month, most of them part-time, but it makes up for a 40,000 fall in the previous month. So combined with yesterday's rise in the underlying inflation rate, what does it mean for interest rates? For that and more, I spoke with Callum Pickering, his APAC's senior economist at Indeed. Callum, how would you describe the state of the jobs market at the moment?
Well, the Australian job market is still pretty tight overall. The unemployment rate is obviously quite low at 4.4%, but there are certainly some cracks that have started to appear. Employment growth over the past year has been pretty sluggish, and that's certainly been the case over the first 5 months of 2026. So while the job market overall is quite good, I think there are some concerns, and obviously the nation faces a number of pretty stiff challenges over the second half of this year. So it will be quite a challenging period coming up for the Australian job market.
Can we go into those cracks a bit more? There seems to have been a backlog of unemployed people waiting to start jobs in this data. And separate numbers from the ABS today also shows job vacancies have declined. What's your take on where the jobs market is going?
Yeah, so it's quite interesting. Obviously, employment was up by around 40,000 people, which at first glance you would take as being a pretty good result. The key caveat, though, is that employment declined by 40,000 people last month. And so you take those 2 months together and you've got no employment growth over the course of April and May. So that is a little bit of a concern, the pretty soft employment growth that we have seen over a number of months now. If that doesn't pick up, then I think higher unemployment is inevitable. Employment just isn't growing anywhere near fast enough to offset the increase in Australia's working age population. At the same time, we're seeing declining job vacancies. Now, it's important to note that job vacancies are still pretty high by historical standards. There's still a lot of jobs out there, but it's not necessarily flowing through to higher employment. And one of the key reasons for this that I know through the work I do with Indeed is that a lot of businesses have jobs that they want filled. They don't have the budget to fill them, okay? So they're unable to put the money behind these jobs in order to find the right candidates. And so there is a little bit of a disconnect at the moment between the jobs that are being advertised versus that flowing through to actual employment, which is why you've got this situation where job vacancies are high, but employment growth is pretty sluggish.
So if it's fair to say that the jobs market is resilient yet slowing, and then we combine that with the other economic indicators we're seeing, like underlying inflation rising, fresh ABS data today, which also shows household spending is up despite very low consumer sentiment. What does this all mean for the outlook for interest rates then?
Well, the RBA would naturally be very concerned around the core inflation figures that came out yesterday. Trend mean inflation, 3.6%, probably going to trend higher over the next couple of months. That's just much too high, and it's much too broad-based for the RBA to ignore. When you add in the pretty strong household spending figures, that indicates that inflation is probably going to remain quite high in the near term, right? Because it's a spending problem. People are spending too much. They need to rein that in, or at least that's what the RBA is trying to orchestrate. The labour market figures look quite different in the sense that while the job market is quite tight, it has deteriorated somewhat. And the RBA would be a little bit concerned by some of the indicators that they're looking at. The sluggish employment growth, for example, is a bit of a concern. So they will have one eye on that, but I think they're going to be more focused upon the inflation figures at the moment because that's probably the more pressing economic concern.
And so what's your forecast for rates to rise still?
Well, I'm at right now, based on the data that we've had over the past couple of days, I do think the RBA will hike when they meet in August. I think the inflation figures are bad enough, and the employment figures weren't weak enough to sort of offset that. Now, bearing in mind, before the RBA meets in August, they get another set of inflation figures, they get another set of employment figures, so that could change. These data are pretty volatile, but at least now, based on the data flow that we've had, I think there's enough in there for the RBA to justify another rate hike.
That's Callum Pickering there, senior economist at Indeed. Let's go to the Australian share market now, where the S&P ASX 200 fell down 0.7%. Investors taking some risk off the table, moving into defensive parts of the market like healthcare and consumer staples. There were some milestones though, and depending who you talk to, not necessarily good ones. The Australian dollar fell to below 69 US cents. The oil price is now below where it was when the war started in the Middle East, while gold is under $4,000 for the first time since November. For more, I spoke with Scott Haslam, who's the Chief Investment Officer at LGT Wealth Management. So, Scott, it appears the jobs market is holding up. Unemployment is down. Underlying inflation is up. We had some stats today also from the ABS saying that household spending is also up. So how's the market reacting to all of this, and what's it likely to mean for monetary policy?
Well, hi, Ricardo. Terrific to be with you. Look, I think the labour market is holding up pretty well. Unemployment rate between 4 and 4.5 for the past year or so. That's certainly not as low as it was in 2022, but historically that is a relatively low unemployment rate. In terms of how markets are interpreting the data that we're getting, look, there's something for everyone in each piece of data. I think with the jobs market report today, yes, the unemployment rate's a little bit lower, but even though we got 40,000 jobs, we lost 40,000 jobs last month, so we're flat across 2 months. And then with the inflation data, it is quite helpful that the headline rate of inflation has moderated. But we all, as you mentioned, we are seeing the core rate drift up. So in terms of how the market is reacting today, it's a little softer, not much of a lead from overnight. But I think the main thing is the Australian equity market's been underperforming for most of this year. And although it's a peak underperformance really relative to global markets, some of the negative headwinds are still very much there in terms of higher rates, the confidence around the budget, et cetera. So we think the Aussie market will continue to underperform. And on monetary policy, the market's about 50-50 priced for another rate hike. And that feels about right, given the risks that the economy might slow. But inflation's looking a little sticky. So it's probably too early to say we've passed the peak on rates.
On the markets, I think it hit quite a number of small milestones today. If we can run through them, Brent crude back to levels last seen before the start of the Middle East conflict. We've got gold now below 4,000 US per ounce. The Australian dollar under 69 US. What are the forces leading to all of this? And how much do the developments in the Middle East and global interest rate moves have to do with it?
Well, there's a lot going on in the world at the moment. I think a good place to start is the US-Iran situation, and people have different views around the fragility of the peace deal, but it does seem like we're seeing renewed shipping through the Straits of Hormuz, oil starting to flow, goods starting to flow. And so to the extent that that feels less risky, I guess, than where we were a month or so ago, you are seeing gold prices come back. And of course, as you mentioned, the oil price is coming back as well. That kind of risk, a more risk-loving environment would typically put upward pressure on the Australian dollar. And we're not seeing that. In fact, the Australian dollar, as you mentioned, is drifting down. And this is something we're talking to our clients a little bit about is, the markets can't be entirely driven by geopolitical events. There has to be some macro behind them. There has to be earnings and growth and inflation and those types of things. And there's clearly a hangover from 3 months of unprecedented low supplies of oil around the world. It's going to take months to get energy supply back to where it was. So there's a macro hangover, and what that macro hangover looks like is it's a little bit stagflation light. Growth is slowing a bit, Inflation's picking up a little bit. And we've got a whole lot of central banks around the world suffering a little bit of PTSD post-COVID when they let inflation go a little bit too far. And now they're actually reacting. We saw Japan tightening, Europe's tightened, Australia's tightened. So that shift where we've gone from central banks being on hold to cutting to being on hold to hiking is actually making the Australian dollar less attractive than it was. So we are seeing some downward pressure there on the Australian dollar.
And so if the Australian dollar is typically seen as a risky asset, right, does it mean that we're seeing investors attracted to defensive parts of the market?
I do think investors have been leaning into those more defensive parts of the Aussie market. Clearly higher rates, a lack of confidence following the budget, the uncertainty around that. You have seen people looking or turning away from some of those sort of growthy cyclical areas of the market. Now, if you looked at defensives overall, you'd say they've kind of underperformed a bit nonetheless. But if you take out healthcare, where a number of those stocks are under sort of cost of living or business model pressure, the defensives have done pretty well. I think the outlook depends on your kind of view on interest rates. If you think interest rates are at their peak, the economy's slowing and rates are going to get cut, then some of those growthy areas might start to recover. Our sense is, given it feels a bit stagflation-like, and even though growth is slowing, inflation's a bit sticky, we think defensives will continue to be attractive and growth might be something that comes back a little bit more next year.
And where else do you see the opportunities for investors? We've spoken a lot about, the domestic market. Are you looking offshore? Is that where the growth is?
We think there are an increasing number of places around the world that have become, let's say, less unexceptional. We're still big fans of the US. We think the US is an exceptional place to invest. But we are seeing really structural recovery stories coming through in Japan as well. And so, you know, even this year, a number of large markets have outperformed the US. So we're really talking to our clients around being constructive. We are still constructive in the investment environment, but we do think it's going to be pretty choppy over the second half of this year. And so this is a point in time where you want to really rest on your diversification in your portfolio across all the asset classes. Equities have had a good run. We still want to be exposed to the human ingenuity and the opportunity in equities. Fixed income, really attractive starting yields in that 5 to 6% range. And of course, the unlisted private markets where you can get really good inflation protection, volatility protection, and capture some of what we'd call sort of bottleneck thematics, themes where demand is going to be greater than supply for a number of years. So again, not surprisingly, we're talking about AI, we're talking about data centers, we're talking about defense, we're talking about energy security, we're talking about climate. All of these areas we think are attractive areas and where capital is going to flow. So we think we're not deploying a lot of risk at the moment. We're only using about 20% of our budget. We're telling clients to live in a little bit more of a neutral world, have a little bit of coin in the back pocket to deploy if things get a bit choppy. Make sure you're not overexposed to the AI exposures and have some inflation protection in portfolios.
That's Scott Haslam there, the Chief Investment Officer at LGT Wealth Management, and he wraps up the podcast for this Thursday. This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Hi.
Hi, it's Noor Haider, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we bring you a single story, going beyond the headlines and taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Combining personal storytelling with analysis, we take you inside the stories that matter most. For fearless, independent reporting that holds power to account, listen to Full Story from The Guardian, wherever you get your podcasts.